Lecture topic, Spite and Jealousy, Destruction to the Identity of the Ummah, Part 1.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wa usalli wa usallimu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen, Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man ihtada bihadyihi wa qtada bisunnatihi ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أم يحسدون الناس على ما آتاهم الله من فضله فقد آتينا آل إبراهيم الحكمة وآتيناهم ملكا عظيما فمنهم من آمن به ومنهم من صد عنه وكفى بجهنم سعيرا صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, as humans, as mortals, and more specifically as believers, we are constantly reminded of our ethical, our moral, and our religious duty to respond, assist, and aid the victims of tragedies and catastrophes. It's our duty, it's our responsibility. But unfortunately, we are very seldom reminded that the very bond of Iman that calls upon us and that governs and regulates and compels us to lend a helping hand to those that have been struck with a tragedy equally compels us to share in the happiness, the achievements, and the success of our fellow Muslims. And I must add by saying, it is easier to share in the pain of someone than to rejoice in the achievement of someone. In the Arabic language, they say, "Kafa bil mar'i hasida." Kafa bil mar'i hasida ay yaghtamma waqta sururik. The loudest definition of a man who harbors jealousy in his heart against you is he will be moaning and groaning with a big frown on his forelock the day something good happens in your life. So he won't have a smile, he won't say a kind word, it's too difficult for him to swallow a venture, a prosperity, a achievement in your life. And that brings me to the quotation of the great scholar and the great giant Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, when he said, "Al-hasadu mutashaqibun min al-bukhli." When you look at jealousy, it borders with the regular type of mizin, if not worse. Why? فَإِنَّ الْبَخِيلَ الَّذِي هُوَ يَبْخَلُ بِمَا فِي يَدِهِ عَلَى غَيْرِهِ. The common, the average, the known miser, and I don't say this in a trivializing context because it's a grave sin, is the person who mises with something in his possession. He clings on to it, he holds it tight, and he would not release it, and he would not pass it on to another person. وَالَّذِي يَبْخَلُ بِنِعَمِ اللَّهِ وَهِيَ فِي خِزَانَةِ قُدْرَتِهِ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ فَشُحُّهُ أَعْظَمُ. And there's one person whose nature of mising is much greater. And what is that person? He mises with the bounties of Allah while they are in the treasures of Allah, and he tries his level best to prevent that from the servants of Allah. In English they say, you have two types of people. Some are generous by wealth and others are generous by spirit. So those that are generous by wealth are not always generous by spirit. Some people can spend thousands of dollars, but they cannot say a kind word to acknowledge someone else. A proud man is one who feels injured when others are praised. A proud man is one who feels violated. How can you acknowledge him in my presence? That's a violation to me. You're considering me less. And this is where our pitfall lies. والحسود هو الذي يشق عليه إنعام الله تعالى على عبد من عباده بعلم أو مال أو محبة في قلوب الناس أو حظ من الحظوظ حتى أنه ليحب زوالها عنه وإن لم تحصل له فهذا منتهى الخبث. A jealous man is one who wishes to curtail and prevent the bounties of Allah being conferred upon an individual, be it knowledge, be it fame, be it recognition, to the extent that even if I cannot have it, the next man must not own it. And this is the pinnacle of wickedness to which any human or believer can ever stoop, and may Allah save us. And hence the hadith of Abu Dawood, where the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Al-hasadu ya'kulu al-hasanat kama ta'kulu an-naru al-hatab. That jealousy will consume your virtues pretty much like how fire would eat up wood. Wal-hasud huwa al-mu'adhab alladhi la yurham. Every victim of any tragedy gains the sympathy and the empathy of the world, but a jealous man, because he has shackled himself by his own actions. مُعَذَّبْ أَلَّذِي لَا يُرْحَمْ. For him there is no sympathetic eye. وَلَا يَزَالُ فِي عَذَابٍ دَائِمٍ. And this is key and this is profound. He said a man who harbors jealousy, or a woman who harbors jealousy, lives in perpetual torment. Why? لِأَنَّ الدُّنْيَا لَا تَخْلُو قَتُّ عَنْ خَلْقٍ كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ أَقْرَانِهِ وَمَعَارِفِهِ مِمَّنْ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِعِلْمٍ أَوْ مَالٍ أَوْ جَاهٍ أَوْ مَحَبَّةٍ فِي قُلُوبِ النَّاسِ. Because the system of nature is that there always will be a more prolific author than you, there always will be a more dynamic speaker than me, there always will be a greater sister organization that will contribute more effectively than you. This is the system of Allah, that in every sphere of life there will be people more prominent, more accepted, more favored than you. So to fight this system is actually combating against the system of nature. فَلَا تَخْلُوا عَنْ أَقْرَانِهِ وَمَعَارِفِهِ مِمَّنْ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِعِلْمٍ أَوْ مَالٍ أَوْ جَاهٍ. And then he goes on to say, فَلَا يَزَالُ فِي عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. This jealous man will be in perpetual torment. وَلَا عَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَشَدُّ وَأَكْبَرُ. But only to know that the torment you suffer in this world is really the milder of the two of that which awaits you post-death. بَلَّا يَصِلُ الْعَبْدُ إِلَىٰ حَقِيقَةِ الْإِيمَانِ مَا لَمْ يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. In fact, you haven't tasted Iman until and unless you don't aspire that as I prosper, my sister organizations must equally prosper. As my venture sees fruition, so must the dream of my colleagues see fruition. As my things materialize, so must the things of others materialize. بَلْ يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُسَاهِمَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Until and unless we don't start sharing in the happy moments of others, we don't start rejoicing in their achievements, we are far from Iman. And then Imam Ghazali goes on to say, and he concludes this particular chapter by these words, فَإِنْ كُنْتَ لَا تُصَادِفُ هَذَا مِنْ قَلْبِكَ فَإِشْتِغَالُكَ بِطَلَبِ الْمَخْلَصِ عَنِ الْهَلَاكِ أَهَمْ مِنْ إِشْتِغَالِكَ بِالنَّوَادِرِ الْفُرُوعِ وَعِلْمِ الْخُصُومَاتِ. If you don't find this aspiration brimming in your heart, then it is integral and vital and of paramount importance that you occupy yourself in seeking deliverance from the state and don't engage yourself in understanding the intricate rulings of jurisprudence when your heart is full of pride and haughtiness and jealousy. The great scholar Ash-Shafi'i rahimahullah said, كُلُّ الْعَدَاوَةِ قَدْ تُرْجَى إِزَالَتُهَا إِلَّا عَدَاوَةُ مَنْ عَادَاكَ مِنْ حَسَدِيمٍ. I can make any two rivals reconcile, and I can make peace between any form of antagonism that exists. But if the motivation of this hostility stems from jealousy, then let me admit my inability, I won't be able to make peace between the two of them. If there are any two rivals and they are at loggerheads, leave them with me and I will make them embrace and shake hands.
But if this stems from jealousy, then I have to admit my inability, my feebleness, my helplessness, because one is striving to see the collapse of another. And he went on to say, وَذِي حَسَدٍ يَغْتَابُنِي حَيْثُ لَا يَرَى مَكَانِي وَيُثْنِي صَالِحًا حَيْثُ أَسْمَعُ. What a common malady in the ummah, that a nation that has been maimed and paralyzed and now becomes furtherly, more internally paralyzed by these types of slurs and comments. What does he say? وَذِي حَسَدٍ. The salient feature of a jealous man is, he will speak good of you in your presence. Oh, that's a great place. That's a wonderful school. Enroll your son there. He's an amazing leader. He's in the driving seat. They've got phenomenal talent. They have it delivering. They're awesome. They're brilliant. They're great. وَيَغْتَابُنِي حَيْثُ لَا يَرَى مَكَانِي. But as I sneak out, he says, this man's got an attitude. What they say in English, he who's wrapped up in himself makes a pretty small package. He who's wrapped up in himself makes a pretty small package. And someone said, my brother, stop patting yourself on your shoulder. You might just dislocate it. My brother, stop patting yourself on the shoulder. You might just dislocate it. وَذِي حَسَدٍ يَغْتَابُنِي حَيْثُ لَا يَرَى مَكَانِي. When he doesn't see me, يَغْتَابُنِي وَيُثْنِي صَالِحًا حَيْثُ أَسْمَعُ. And if he knows I'm listening, then he is raving about me. Then he is singing my praises. These are great people. These are amazing people. These are awesome people. But this is the great challenge that الشافعي puts to the world. He said, تَوَرَّعْتُ أَنْ أَغْتَابَهُ مِنْ وَرَائِهِ وَمَا هُوَ إِذْ يَغْتَابُنِي مُتَوَرِّعُ. I am going to rise beyond this mentality. And I am going to mature this hurdle of tit for tat attitude. This only makes my pace more sluggish and it only halts my vehicle from inching forward. I have vowed to Allah, as much as I know my rivals are speaking ill of me in my absence, I will never ever speak ill of them in their absence. What did Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu say on the occasion of Tabuk, when Amr ibn Wud scaled the trenches and Allah gave him the strength, and then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu defeated his opponent, and then he made a very profound proclamation. He said, فَصَدَرْتُ حِينَ تَرَكْتُهُ مُتَجَدِّلًا كَالْجِذْعِ بَيْنَ دَكَادِكٍ وَرَوَابِي وَعَفَفْتُ عَنْ أَثْوَابِهِ وَلَوْ أَنَّنِي كُنْتُ الْمُقَتَّرُ بَزَّنِي أَثْوَابِي لَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ خَاذِلَ دِينِهِ وَنَبِيِّهِ يَا مَعْشَرَ الْأَحْزَابِ. He said, fate was in my favor. In Arabic they say, إِنَّ الْمَقَادِيرَ إِذَا تَسَاعَدَتْ أَلْحَقَتِ الْعَاجِزِ بِالْقَادِرِ. When fate becomes favorable, then the helpless become helpful. So Allah gave me strength, Allah gave me victory over my opponent, but I'm going to back off at this point that he has been defeated. But I know very well, if he had an upper hand over me, he wouldn't have rested after dropping me. He would have undressed me and he would have then mutilated my body. He would have dishonored me and he would have taken pleasure by dissecting my body into pieces. I know very well he would have gone for the jugular. He would have taken me to the cleaners. He would have taken me through every litigation. He would have really made mincemeat out of me. Today Allah has given me authority. I'm not going to do very much the same what he would have done to me. فَصَدَرْتُ, I backtrack. حَيْنَ تَرَكْتُهُ, when I dropped him. مُتَجَدِّلًا كَالْجِذْعِ بَيْنَ دَكَادِكٍ وَالرَّوَابِ وَعَفَفْتُ عَنْ أَثْوَابِ, and I didn't lay my hands on his garment. وَلَوْ أَنَّنِي كُنْتُ الْمُقَتَّرِ, but reverse the scenario. Hypothetically, if he had the power, بَزَّنِي أَثْوَابِ, my body would have been lying here in absolute nudity. لَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ خَاذِلَ دِينِهِ وَنَبِيِّهِ. Don't ever entertain the deception or the delusion that Allah will forsake his faith or abandon his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Shafi'i goes on to say, إِنِّي صَحِبْتُ النَّاسَ مَا لَهُمْ عَدَدٍ. In the world, I had the good privilege of interacting with tens, hundreds, and thousands of people. وَكُنْتُ أَحْسِبُ أَنِّي قَدْ مَلَأْتُ يَدِي. There were many people with whom I had a relatively good relation that I could swear on the authenticity of our relation. But then came the crunch time. Then came the test time. They say adversity makes some people break and it makes others break records. Adversity makes some people break down and it makes others break records. So here came the crunch time. لَمَّا بَلَوْتُ أَخِلَّائِ. When I called upon my peers, I called upon my cronies, I called upon my acquaintances. وَجَدْتُهُمْ كَالدَّهْرِ فِي الْغَدَرِ لَمْ يُبْقُوا عَلَىٰ أَحَدِي. I found them that each one of them in their own way had betrayed me. إِنْ غِبْتُ فَشَرُّ النَّاسِ يَشْتِمُنِي. We'll be sitting in a gathering and all would be speaking nice and pleasant and good and great. And then I sneak out of the gathering. The evil of them amongst that gathering would start hurling the most nasty words, the most condescending comments, the most derogatory remarks, the most inflammatory comments about me. وَخَيْرُ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَعُدِي. While the best amongst them will never bother visiting me the day I'm sick. He said, I can live with that. That's life. Each man is gripped in his own life. Move on. I can make peace with that. But the thing with which I cannot reconcile, إِنْ رَأَوْنِي بِخَيْرٍ سَاءَهُمْ فَرْحِي وَإِنْ رَأَوْنِي بِشَرٍ سَرَّهُمْ نَكِدِيد. I meet the man and I say, you're looking very happy and excited today. What's the occasion? He said, because I discovered that you're depressed and miserable. So my misery is their joy. My agony is their excitement. My fall is their ascension. My collapse is their achievement. وَإِنْ رَأَوْنِي بِشَرٍ سَرَّ وَإِنْ رَأَوْنِي بِخَيْرٍ سَاءَهُمْ فَرْحِيرٍ. And flip the coin, I meet the man and he's depressed and he's miserable and he's so, feels so dejected. What's the issue? I heard that you opened up a new shop. I heard that your event was successful. I heard that things are going great in your life. I heard that your daughter's got a great proposal. I believe that your son-in-law's got this, has got that. Subhanallah, where has this ummah lost it? Tabaqat ibn Sa'ad, Abu Dujana radiyallahu anhu is in his fatal illness. He's the veteran of Uhud. He was amongst those companions who had formed the human wall to shield the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam against the intensity of arrows that were being showered at him. Somebody meets him in his fatal illness. His face is radiating light, brimming with effulgence and nur. So asked him, مَا لِوَجْهِكَ يَتَهَلَّلْ. What's all the joy and the excitement about? Did he say, I enjoy the privilege. These are my accolades. I'm a veteran of Uhud. I shielded the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We fortified him. He said, مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَوْثَقُ عِنْدِي مِنْ اثْنَتَيْنِ. I actually rely very much on two actions that I have invested with my Allah. Number one, كُنْتُ لَا أَتَكَلَّمْ فِي مَا لَا يَعْنِينِ. I would never poke my nose in matters that didn't concern me. They say, what is the definition of gossip? Is a person who makes a mouthful out of an earful. He takes an earful and makes a mouthful out of it. I never involved myself in matters that didn't concern me. I never would indulge in this year. وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. You would be held responsible and liable for the claims you make. My eye has seen, my heart has thought, my ears have heard. Understand, be circumspect before you pronounce. And the second thing is, كَانَ قَلْبِي سَلِيمًا لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. My heart has never ever entertained or harbored negativity, jealousy or antagonism or hostility for any human or any Muslim throughout my life. And I invest my hopes in that. That which was the average state of this Sahabi is not my spiritual state on the occasion of Hajj at the plains of Arafat. It's not my state on the 27th of Ramadan when I'm holding onto the cloth of the Kaaba and I'm screaming out for aid and assistance. Even at that time, my heart is brimming with this pride and this arrogance in me. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say, the Muslim Ummah, when they see another brother or another organization or some amongst them that are going through difficulties or hardship, then they do not start clapping hands on the fall of others. إِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ أَخَاكُمْ قَارَفَ دَنْبًا فَلَا تَكُونُوا أَعْوَانًا لِلشَّيْطَانِ عَلَيْهِ. When you see your brother is going through some turmoil, some difficulty, he's been put under some scrutiny, microscopically he's been analyzed, financially or otherwise, do not aid the campaign of the devil against him by saying, it's good, it's about time. They need to feel the hiding. They need to be exposed. They need to go to the cleaners. وَلَكِنْ سَلُوا اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةِ. But at that time, you should be intensifying your prayer of protection. Oh Allah, I never thought it could happen to this country. Allah, I never thought it could happen to this individual. Allah, I never thought this organization could collapse. Allah, give me safety. Allah, give me protection. Allah, give me assistance. The Quran told Sayyidina Nuh that when you board the ark and you see those that have revolted and rebelled are drowning, then at that time it's not for you to clap hands. فَإِذَا اسْتَوَيْتَ أَنْتَ وَمَنْ مَعَكَ عَلَى الْفُلْكِ فَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي نَجَّانَا مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. As you see them collapsing, oh my Lord, I'm grateful that with your intervention and your clemency and your mercy, you've rescued me and you've separated me. Otherwise, my lot could be the very much same, if not worse. Look at the political landscape of the world and look at the turbulence and the anarchy and the mayhem. How can you and I slip into a zone of comfort? How can we fall into the lap of complacency and feel all is hunky-dory for me in any way, shape or size? Then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, فَإِنَّا أَصْحَابُ مُحَمَّدٍ كُنَّا لَا نَقُولُ فِي أَحَدٍ شَيْئًا حَتَّى نَعْلَمْ عَلَى مَا يَمُوتُ. We the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would be very calculated and measured when it came to pronouncing judgments on individuals or organizations. We would think 10 times. They say the one who thinks before speaking, the one who speaks without thinking, the one who speaks without thinking runs a greater risk than the one who thinks without speaking. The one who speaks without thinking, he runs a greater risk than the one who thinks without speaking. You're thinking, you're in thinking mode. This is the time to speak less. When Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu was assassinated, right? This was a very, very sad day in the annals of Islamic history. And we know this, and it's a great story, and it's a very sad moment, and it's a very tragic thing, and there are great things that have been written about it. But Rabi ibn Khuthaym, the other day I read an amazing quotation of his, and it just, I have a flash of this. And then I will share with you what I wanted to say. He said, the problem with the world today is, and he said it back in his time, إِنَّ النَّاسَ خَافُ اللَّهَ فِي ذُنُوبِ الْعِبَادِ وَلَمْ يَخَافُ اللَّهَ فِي ذُنُوبِ أَنفُسِهِمْ. He said, today I am fearing Allah on your behalf. And brother, you're living a life like this. Really, I don't want to meet my creator like this. I don't know how you go to sleep. Oh, I wouldn't want to spend one night like this. How do you live a life like this? I wouldn't want to die meeting my creator in the state in which you are. So I'm very bold in fearing Allah on behalf of others. But I never fear Allah on behalf of my own wrong. I never think how I'm living my life. How am I living my life? When Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu was assassinated and people came to ask him for a verdict and a press release and can we have a statement? And they said, today he will open up. Today he will speak. Today he will vent. And then he said, ah, awaqad fa'alu? Have they literally assassinated this great man Hussein radiallahu anhu? Allahumma fatir as-samawati wal-ard, alim al-ghaybi wal-shahada, anta tahkumu bayna ibadika fima kanu fihi yakhtalifun. Allah, you the creator of the heavens and the earth, you regulate it, you'll decide on the day of Qiyamah. That's my statement. So we, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we would never make premature judgments. We would never be hasty in concluding issues. Why? حتى نعلم على ما يموت. Until we see the outcome. Because life has its turbulences, has its fluctuations, until we see the state in which the man passes away. فَإِنْ عَلِمْنَا أَنْ فَإِنْ خُتِمَ لَهُ بِخَيْرٍ عَلِمْنَا أَنَّهُ قَدْ أَصَابَ خَيْرًا. If we see a noble end and a pleasant end, then we say those are loud indications that this man was enjoyed a good relation with Allah. وَإِنْ خُتِمَ بِشَرٍ خِفْنَا عَلَيْهِ. And Allah forbid if the man had a nasty ending, had a wicked ending, and really he just came sliding down and just went on a slope from prominence to acceptance. Suddenly he dips down to embarrassment, to humiliation, to disgrace, and then off the radar and off the navigation and never to be seen. And then the man is in a pitiful and an appalling state. Even in a state like that, we would not pronounce the judgment, but we would become very nervous and apprehensive about such individual's fate in Akhirah. There's a beautiful incident mentioned in the 24th juz in Surah Hamim and Hawamim, as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu has referred to it as Dibajul Quran, the silk of the Quran. That one day Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was sitting with his companions, and then he rotated his gaze and he said, there's a youngster that used to be attending my gathering, I don't see him. And he was very talented, he was very robust, he was very muscular, he was very skilled. Lahu Zairun ka Zairil Asad, he had the roar of a lion. So someone said, Umar, close the chapter and move on. The man has indulged in social evils and unfortunately he's got a drinking habit. So you know what, don't even bother yourself and move on. Umar said, no, he's part of us. And why should we continue indulging or engaging in a supposed program when one of our members have defected? When one of our members are in a crisis, we've got to respond to his aid, we've got to stand out. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu then gave it thought and he wrote a verse. And a verse of the 24th juz, and that's what Ibn Kathir has captured in his tafsir, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces himself by saying, غافر الذنب وقابل التوب شديد العقاب ذي الطول لا إله إلا هو إليه المصير. Allah is one who pardons, who accepts repentance, yet full of might and authority. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu writes from Umar to so and so, writes this ayah, and then he gives it to a person, and he says, do me a favor, go to this particular brother of mine who unfortunately is in this crisis. If I have to discover that so-and-so has fallen, that's the gossip, that's the social afternoon. It just adds flavor to the barbecue. It's just excitement. It's just, you know what? Oh, go for the run and enjoy when, where, how, what, who. Sayyidina Umar halted his program, got them activated, mobilized his team, captured this in writing, tasked one person as an envoy. He said, you take this note and you go and give it to this man. But two things. You give it to him personally. If you don't meet him, you don't give it to anyone else. This is confidentiality. This is confidentiality. We need to trust and respect that. Number one. Number two, you give it to him when he's sober and he's in a state that he can read it. If you find that unfortunately he's not sober, he's not in his senses, then you wait till he recovers, and when he's in a good state, you drop him the note. The envoy takes this note, light as it is, laden with prayer and supplication, brimming with concern and worry. He then addresses his congregation and he said, "Ud'u Allah li akhikum an yuqbila bi qalbihi." Now I'm not going to have a program. We've changed our program. Every one of you now engage in passionate prayer that when this note drops in the lap of our brother, it must effect a positive change. And Allah must inspire his heart to embrace the bold step of change. So it's just not a lousy SMS. It's just not a simple text. It's just not sending an email. It's filled with meaning. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ الرَّجُلَ كِتَابُ عُمَرُ. When the note of Umar falls in the lap of this man, جَعَلَ يَقْرَأُهُ وَيُرَدِّدُهُ وَيَبْكِي. He started reading it, reflecting, introspecting and tearing. And he said, Umar, I salute your vision. I salute your choice. What a verse from the entire Quran. You're giving me hope and you're chastising me. You're inspiring me with a glamour of hope and you're rebuking me. نَزَعَ فَأَحْسَنَ النَّزْعَ he then repented and became one of the most rehabilitated youth Medina had ever seen. And then Sayyidina Umar said, my lesson for today is this, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ أَخًا لَكُمْ زَلَّ زَلَّةً فَسَدِّدُوهُ وَوَثِّقُوهُ وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَعْوَانًا لِلشَّيْطَانِ عَلَيْهِ. But when you see your brother fall, then stand up to rescue him, save him, let him not fall on the ground, because his fall is the collapse of the entire ummah, and rescuing him is the rescue and the deliverance of the entire ummah. And that brings me to the great quotation of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Imagine a day can come where somebody comes to my organization and says, brother, I have X amount of funds. And I say, you know what, may Allah bless you. Actually, you know what, we have sufficient funds. But there is another organization close by. They are in a dire need. Please, do you want to just refer your funds there? Helping them and helping us is helping the cause of deen. Imagine when we will operate with broadness of shoulders like that. And that is the way we will complement and not contradict. Where will this ummah move? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, someone insulted him. He said, you know, Allah has given me three things which are exclusive to me, and I doubt anyone else in the ummah has it. Number one, إِنِّي لَآتِي عَلَى الْآيَةِ فَأَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا عَلِمُوا مِثْلَ الَّذِي أَعْلَمُ. When I study a verse and then Allah has favored me with the depth, the profoundness, the understanding, the intricacy, the sciences of the Quran, my heart screams out. And I don't want to have a monopoly over this. And I don't want to be the first one who tweeted this. And I don't want to be the first one who coined this phrase. I want the whole world to know it like how I know it, and we share from what Allah has given us all. Imam Shafi said, I wish people can take the knowledge I have disseminated without directing or attributing a letter to me. Without directing or attributing a letter to me. Number two, وَإِنِّي لَأَسْمَعُ بِالْحَاكِمِ مِنْ حُكَّامِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ يَقْضِي بِالْعَدْلِ. Sometimes I will hear of a governor and a ruler who's executing justice, and I'm ecstatic and I'm elated that one man has been appointed in a prominent post and he is delivering in relation to the task that is resting on his shoulders. وَلَعَلِّي لَا أُقَاضِي إِلَيْهِ أَبَدًا. And it's not like I've got vested interest with the man. I won't meet him, I won't see him. But just to know a man has been appointed in a particular institution who's executing goodness and bringing good to the people, it brings me the same joy as if it was happening in my home. Number three, وَإِنِّي لَأَسْمَعُ بِالْغَيْثِ أَصَابَ الْبَلَدْ مِنْ بِلَادِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَأَفْرَحُ بِهِ وَمَالِي بِتِلْكَ الْأَرْضِ سَائِمَةً أَيْ دَبَّةٌ تَرْعَى. I will hear about rain that comes down, and then it will drench the land, and the animals will graze, and vegetation will grow. And I'm not aware of the shepherds of that land, nor of the vegetation, nor of the landscape. But just to know the rain of Allah benefited the bondsman of Allah, for me it is like rain benefited my own crops and I'm eating of it. Musnad Ahmad, there is a narration when the Sahaba migrated from Mecca and they came to Medina. So the Ansar, they poured their hearts out and they displayed unprecedented hospitality. So for a moment, the Muhajirin felt that, you know what? They stole the show. They took everything. I wonder if I'll get any reward. They said, Ya Rasulallah, khashina an yadhhabu bil ajri kulli. The way they have served us, we afraid there's no reward left. Whereas they were the migrants. They had to forsake their native land. They had to give up their luxuries, their embellishments and their comforts. But they looked at the overwhelming hospitality and they said, I doubt there's any reward for us. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave such a profound formula. Just to contextualize this here, the incident of the Ansar was so phenomenal. And that's what I'm saying, the ummah is in dire need for broad shoulders. The ummah is in a desperate need to rise beyond. When I get personal with my wife and she gets personal with me, the kids are suffering. The children, the next day there isn't food in the house and the children's routine has been completely, you know what, distracted and has been completely put in chaos and disarray simply because of the argument of the parents. And if I bicker with you and you bicker with me, the children of this ummah are just been left and unattended to. The institutions of this ummah are just been left and abused and exploited, and the list can continue and continue. So when the spoils of Banu Nadir were brought in, and Allah makes reference of this in Surah Hashr, هو الذي أخرج الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب من ديارهم لأول الحشر ما ظننتم أن يخرجوا وظنوا أنهم مانعتهم حصونهم من الله.
That they were very well fortified and insulated. So when the spoils of Banu Nadir came, reflect for a moment that this is amazing. This is what we should be aspiring for. So here are the migrants that came from Mecca to Medina. And then comes this handsome booty that falls in the lot of the Muslims. And it is Fay, and the final line between Fay and Ghanimat academically is Mali Ghanimat, and the wealth of booty is that in which the warriors have actively participated. So they have a due that is allotted to them. While Fay, literally, if you dissect it, it means it has returned. It has come back to you without active battle. So there's no stipulated share for the warriors. It's at the discretion of the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or his leaders who succeed him. And this is a whole academic, and I don't want to go into the finer writings on all this. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has all the spoils of war, rich legacy, great wealth. And now comes the aspect of the dispensation and the sensitivity of dispensing this wealth. So he gathers the Muhajirin and he gathers the Ansar. And he says, hang on folks, we've got all this wealth. And every person inherently, intrinsically, we are attached to wealth. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدِ That is why when wealth came in, Sayyidina Umar used to say, oh Allah, I am not amongst those who say, I don't want to love wealth, because I do love it. I'm amongst those who ask you, inspire me to channel it where it pleases you. Oh Allah, I love wealth. That is why someone said zuhud, which is abstinence. What is the definition of zuhud? Zuhud doesn't mean that you mustn't possess the world, but rather it means the world mustn't possess you. So own it, but let it not possess you. So anyway, the Prophet ﷺ gathered the Muhajirin and the Ansar. He said to the Ansar, these people are dependent on you financially, morally, socially, otherwise. If I take this entire chunk and I give it to the migrants and I exclusively channel it to them, and in doing so, I release their dependence from you. So on a subtle note, I'm giving you as well. Directly, I will be giving them, but I will be liberating them and freeing them from your dependence. Are you people fine with the idea if I throw this around? You want to sit down, you want to brainstorm, you want to deliberate, you want to come back to me. Is this okay with you? So they all said, it sounds good and we're happy with it. Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, one of the leaders of the Ansar, stood up. He said, O Nabi of Allah, I just want to add to your vision. I just want to take it slightly further. Perfect, I'm in harmony with your sentiments, whatever wealth came. Imagine, you supported, you were there in crisis, you gave your home. Come the time of dispensing, comes the time of affluence, all the wealth has been given to the migrants and you are being not marginalized or not discriminated, but you've been kept aside. O Nabi of Allah, that's fine. Give everything to our Muhajirin brothers. But one thing I would like to add to your suggestion, don't detach them from us. Leave them still with us so they continue the perks of sharing my home, my conveyance, my allowance, my finances, and give them all the wealth of the Banu Nadir exclusively. Subhanallah, when I read this the first time, by Allah, I cried. I said, this is the benchmark of the believer. This is the precedent Sahaba said. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا Tell them to produce the level of submission, unity and brotherhood that the Sahaba did. Now when Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu did this, we were like, Sa'd, speak for yourself. O Prophet of Allah, he doesn't necessarily amplify the sentiments of the broader community. He's speaking in his individual capacity. Everyone said, oh, the Prophet of Allah, we conquer with the sentiments. And I read this in Tabaqat ibn Sa'd, when Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu was in his fatal illness and he was about to pass away. What more do you need in your cap? What greater feather do you need? Then the Prophet of Allah coming to Sa'd radiallahu anhu, وَهُوَ يَجُودُ بِنَفْسِهِ As he's about to take his last breath, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِنْ سَيِّدِ قَوْمٍ أَنْجَزْتَ مَا وَعَدْتَ اللَّهَ وَلَيُنْجِزَنَّكَ اللَّهُ مَا وَعَدَكَ. Oh my words. Oh Saad, I don't have a long story to tell you. I just want to tell you, you've been a phenomenal leader who led this ummah. You've been a phenomenal leader who led this ummah. Not my words, not your words, the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِنْ سَيِّدِ قَوْمٍ أَنْجَزْتَ مَا وَعَدْتَ اللَّهُ. You diligently complied to the proclamations and the vows you made when you took office. When you came up, you lived up, you delivered. وَلَيُنْجِزَنَّكَ اللَّهُ مَا وَعَدَكَ. Let your eyes close and see how Allah delivers to you.
وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى.
Allah speaking about Sayyidina Abu Bakr that he gave for the pleasure of Allah. Allah said, I will give him till he is pleased. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam paid tribute to the Ansar. He said, مَا يَضُرُّ إِمْرَأَةً نَزَلَتْ بَيْنَ أَبَوَيْهَا أَوْ نَزَلَتْ بَيْنَ بَيْتَيْنِ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ. If a Ansari woman puts up at her parents' house or she knocks any Ansari door, she's given equal hospitality at any average house or the house of her parents. That was the bond and that was the brotherhood that was found amongst the Ansar. So here is a very volatile period in our history when Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu has taken the reins of the Khilafat, and there is a strong pulling and there is a strong campaign and there is a sizable audience and people have been mobilized who feel that this post is more deserving for Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And make no mistake, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, in addition to being the brother-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the scribe of revelation. Can you imagine the trust the Nabi of Allah had in him, that few were selected as katibin al-wahi, to capture and write and record wahi, and Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was amongst those people. So Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu realized the volatility, and he realized the sensitivity, and he realized that this was creating a tremor in the ummah. So he took on to the minbar. 6 months into his khilafat, he said, after praising Allah, Inna hadha al-amra qad sallamtuhu li Muawiyah. Listen people, I openly announce to you, I relinquish my powers, and I dissolve my kingdom and my ruling, and I hand over the reins of this volatile leadership in this transitory phase to my brother and not my rival, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And then he goes on to say, I haven't done him a favor. إِمَّا أَن يَكُونَ حَقَّهُ. Perhaps he is the rightful custodian of this dominion in the eyes of Allah. فَأَخَذَ حَقَّهُ. Then he's only taken something which belongs to him. As much as I might view it, or my colleagues, or my friends, or my comrades might view that I'm the person, but if in the eyes of Allah he is the rightful man, أَخَذَ حَقَّهُ. He has taken his due. Or perhaps I am the rightful person. فَتَرَكْتُهُ لِصَلَاحِ أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَحَقْنِ دِمَائِهَا. And if in the eyes of Allah I am the rightful person, then I will not take him to task for this on the day of Qiyamah. I relinquish and dissolve this to save this ummah from further fragmentation, to rescue the vehicle of this ummah, so the wheel of this ummah can continue turning. فَالْحَمْدُلِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَكْرَمَ بِنَا أَوَّلَكُمْ. I'm grateful to Allah that He has used myself and my family in always mending this ummah and never dividing this ummah. So when he did this bold, this great, this amazing achievement, someone came to him and said to him, you've defeated us, you've ditched us, you've launched us, you have forsaken us. And he said, I no longer will refer to you as the leader of the believers, but you are an insult to the ummah. He said, you are not Amir al-Mu'mineen, you are Aar al-Mu'mineen. You are an insult. Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu said words that we need to engrave in our hearts. He said, Al-Aar خَيْرٌ مِّنَ النَّارِ العار خَيْرٌ مِّنَ النَّارِ I can live with someone calling me a deserter. I can live with someone calling me nasty things. I can live with someone saying, I've lost the train and I've lost the plot and I've lost my focus. But I cannot contend with the blazing flames of hell. And I don't want to be the person of fragmenting this ummah. In fact, there's an amazing incident written. He had a half-brother. That is Muhammad ibn Ali. Who shared a common mother, a common father to Hassan radiallahu anhu, but he didn't share a common mother because Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu had multiple spouses and partners. So one day Sayyidina Hassan and Sayyidina Ali had an altercation. And I think this is key that I must address this as well. When we saying that the ummah needs to unite and we need to stand together and pool our resources and understand our common spirit, I'm not for a moment suggesting that there won't be difference of opinion. That's bound to happen. And sometimes it can get ugly and it can get bitter and it can get personal. But like they say in English, lose if you have to lose, but don't lose the lesson. Lose if you have to lose, but don't lose the lesson. Emerge from that crisis one better. Emerge from that bickering one stronger. Then we are progressing, then we inching, then we leaping, then we advancing, otherwise we retrogressing. So Hassan radiallahu anhu had an argument and an altercation with his brother Muhammad bin Ali. So his brother wrote to him and he said, فَإِنَّ لَكَ شَرَفًا لَا أَبْلُغُهُ وَفَضْلًا لَا أُدْرِكُهُ Listen my brother, I must be honest, Allah has favored you way more than me. That's the beginning point that I admit your excellency and your virtue over me. You are greater than me. You are greater than me. Allah has favored you. Abuna Aliyun. We share a common father. La ufaddiluka fihi wa la tufaddiluni fihi. In the father we have, and in the ancestry we have, and in the lineage and the genealogy, you don't have any upper hand over me. I don't have any virtue over you. However, ummuka Fatima radiyallahu anha. But your mom is Fatima radiyallahu anha. Fill the entire world with women like my mom. Ma wafayna bi ummik. Ma wafayna bi ummik. They cannot match the virtue of your mother. فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ رُقْعَتِي هَذِهِ When you receive this note of mine, فَالْبَسْ رِدَاءَكْ Then clad yourself with your dress. فَتَعَالْ فَتَرَضِّنِي And hasten and let us reconcile because you have always surpassed me in virtue and this is the one virtue I'm going to surpass you if you're not going to hasten. I mean, look at their engagement. Look at their letters. It wasn't dirty, wasn't ugly, wasn't hostile, wasn't inflammatory, wasn't, you know, sometimes when people send text messages, you sit and think, did this man think before he pressed the green button? Brother, are you applying your mind? Do you know what you're saying? Do you understand the language you're using in it? And then against your own, in the blessed month of Ramadan, regarding the house of Allah, whatever it is, may Allah protect, may Allah save. So immediately Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu stood up and he advanced. There's an incident mentioned, Ibn al-Munzir records it, that one day Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had an argument with a person. And sometimes we slip up and we say things. So he said, Inni la ubghidu fulanan. I've got a bone to pick with this man. I've got a contentious issue with him. And he irks me. He offends me. I don't like him. So Umar radiallahu anhu said it once, twice. Somebody took these sentiments and they went to him and he said, Ma sha'nu Umar yubghiduk. Brother, I see Umar radiallahu anhu differs with you and him are not on a common page. What's the issue? So few people came to him and said, Umar is not very happy and he despises you. So he came straight to Umar radiallahu anhu and he said, Umar, can I ask you a question, please? He said, go for it. Janaytu jinaya? Have I committed a crime? He said, no. Ahdathtu hadatha? Have I innovated any innovation in Islam? No. Fataqtu fatqa? Have I created a rift amongst the Muslims? No, not really. Fa'alama tubghiduni. Then Umar, you have no license and no justification to despise me. Why do you constantly say things about me when I haven't hurt you, offended you, insulted you in any way? Remember Umar, I'm not going to leave you like this. The Quran says, and Allah openly declares,
والذين يؤذون المؤمنين والمؤمنات بغير ما اكتسبوا فقد احتملوا بهتانا وإثما مبينا.
Those who hurt the believers, insult the believers, they carry the burden of an accusation, and you've committed a grave crime.
فَلَا غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ يَا عُمَرُ.
Umar, it is my prayer to Allah that Allah must never pardon you for this wrong that you've done to me. Now one was to turn around, brother, who needs your du'as?
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.